This is LaShonda DeBrew, and I thank you all for joining us today on the Worth to Wealth podcast. I am LaShonda DeBrew, your virtual CFO and tax strategist. And as you know, on the Worth to Wealth podcast, we bring on other guests who are actually walking out their worth to increase their wealth, to show other women what it is to actually walk out and step out, step up and out in what you do and be fearless in what you do, and also share with you some of the aha moments and the things that they have gone through and or are going through, to show you that you are not the only one, you are not by yourself, but then also to inspire and motivate you and empower you to continue on your move to walking out and monetizing your talents and your gifts. So I love empowering other women, love sharing with them, love giving them what I did not have when I was coming through or navigating my journey in entrepreneurship. And today I'm happy to share with you all Miss Jay, Miss Jaina.
Hello.
And Jaina is joining us all the way from Memphis, Tennessee.
Houston, Texas.
Right, but you're now
I'm from Memphis. Yes.
Yes. And Jaina, as she just mentioned, she is currently residing in the beautiful Houston Sugar Land, Texas area. Mm-hmm. She is a boss who is changing lives one mind at a time. A dedicated mommy, a lover of traveling. She has 9 years of strong career coaching, teaching, and recruitment and talent management experience. She has recruited and hired for some of the world's largest organizations, such as Comcast, NRG, and United Airlines. After relationship blunders, miscarriages, lack of job satisfaction, and financial blows, she has had firsthand experience with spiritual exhaustion, mindset shifts, faith, and crawling from the bottom to now helping others to do the same. She has spoken at several institutions and churches, Houston Baptist University, Second Baptist Church, the Upper Room Church, and many more. She also has a podcast that you all should definitely check out, which empowers women in life and leadership, called the Pink Powerheads Podcast, and it is on iTunes and Spotify and various other channels. So welcome.
Thank you.
Ms. Jaina Butler, am I right?
You got it. You can call me Jay. You can definitely call me Jay. Yes.
So Jay, I know, you know, I just did read from your bio, but please share with us a little bit more about who you are before I get into asking you some of my questions, but please share with the listeners.
Absolutely. First of all, that was a great introduction, and the way you said it, I was getting all giddy inside. But yes. Of course, I go by Jay. In the HR experience and the career management and coaching experience that I've had, I've definitely been able to work with professionals, all the way from customer service and call centers and administrative professionals, all the way up to controllers, VPs, COOs, and the list goes on. Yeah. So I've been at the table. I've been the one sitting with decision makers and things of that nature. So it's nothing for me to feel comfortable at the table with individuals that many would see on the outside as a little intimidating. Mm-hmm. And so I've always prided myself in making myself comfortable in areas like that, because I've always believed that we have the ability to be successful. We do all have the ability to be successful. I graduated with a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, went on to complete a master's of science degree from Capella University. And last year I completed a certificate in human resources management from Rice University here in Houston. Wow. And so I've always had a knack for HR, always had a thing for business and people and servicing communities and things like that. I'm a mom of one little girl and proud aunt of several nieces and a nephew. And so been through it. Like you said, relationship blunders, went through divorce. In fact, I will say, I to speak my truth, I've been through it twice. So I know what it's like to go around the track of relationships and starting from the bottom and having to crawl my way back up. So absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
So as you were talking about that and sharing with us what your past has been or your path has been, all I could think of during that time, of course, was like, what were the various mindset shifts that you had to go through, and some of the blockers and, you know, that fear that may have stood in your way and was paralyzing you during that time? Because many of us, we of course, we go through those different struggles. We question ourselves. There's doubt, there's fear, and all of that. And so just share with us, like, how did you overcome?
Oh, goodness.
What were you up against?
Well, one of the things I would have to credit my parents, especially my mom, credit my parents on is knowing about faith. They introduced me to faith. They introduced me to prayer. And I know that's very, it sounds very cliche to say, but to be a person or a woman of faith, being a woman of prayer, is deeper than a religious routine. You're actually tapping into another realm to receive instruction, guidance, peace, and to seek to understand. So I guess looking from the background that I've had, I've always been a lover of people. And I used to be a little, a bit of a, and I joke around with this, I used to be a little bit of a hothead. But at the end of the day, I think as time went on, I started to see people just as human as I was. So when I was going through the issues or going through different relationships or you know, losing, you know, pregnancies and things like that, I had to start getting quiet. It wasn't that I was suppressing things. It was just I was allowing it to happen because I've been taught what faith is to me is that it's a hope that, number one, I'm going to come out of this somehow. I just don't know how. But I'm allowing it to happen because there's obviously something that I need to learn from this experience that doesn't feel good to me. And then process my way through it so that I can come out on the other side. And I definitely can attest to that when I went through my second divorce. And that's when it just came into a season for me that I was ashamed. I went through embarrassment. I went through a series of shutting myself down. There was a long time I didn't go out. And I just remember just having this thing where I would just cry and cry and cry. And I would look at, you know, my friends and see them married with, you know, 2, 3, 4 children. And so my thing was, and I was like, God, why is it that everybody else gets to live this life that they want? They have beautiful husbands. They have wonderful families. They have beautiful houses. But I, for some reason, consistently and continuously attract this type of individual to my life. And I'm loving them. I'm supporting them. And then all of a sudden, I'm left high and dry with zero, you know? And but I started to look at the fact that it's what's in me that is attracting these individuals, and not only attracting them, but I am approving their presence in my life.
But how did you come to that realization?
How did I come to that realization? Yeah. That's a great, great question. So I began to just, and this is probably going to sound very basic, I began to do a lot of praying. I said, God, you've got to help me to understand this. You've got to help me to learn from this. And the answers wouldn't come right away, obviously. I started to read. I started to meet different individuals. And then on top of that, to know that women, I started to come across and interact with women that have been married twice and that now are in beautiful marriages because of what they went through. Now, this didn't come as, oh, I'm going to send a person here. But then women started to come to me. And I'm like, why am I starting to come across women that have been married twice? You know, just an example. And then they would give me hope. And then they would speak to me about what they went through and what they had to venture through. And so, and also reading books and learning about love, learning about how, what's
things. I don't mean to cut you off, but
yeah,
one,
no worries.
Of course, we need to read. One, find other individuals that have gone through similar situations. Obviously, those that you can trust and those you can talk to, as well as reading or finding books or other material that would give you some insight. Into it.
Absolutely. And not even just finding, but allowing the answer to come, allowing the solutions to come. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. That's great. Okay. and so that answered the question. Yes. Okay. Well, one, you were seeking it because again, your thing was, okay, you knew or you recognized that it was a pattern, and then, and you recognize as well that it was something that you were calling in and allowing. So then now it's like, okay, what can I do to change this? And who is it or what is it that I can use to help me shift from out of it? Now, you did talk about, of course, faith is a big part of it. And first, not you necessarily trying to fix it, but then you just really walking through it and going through it and letting it take its course, but then getting into prayer, meditating on it, and then receiving the word that was speaking to it or to your spirit as far
as
how to move next in there, right?
Absolutely.
Which is great because, you know, that can, going through all of that, though, can also paralyze you, you know, and it, it can cause them to be overwhelmed for one. And then it can cause some of us to isolate ourselves because then we start thinking that we're the only one that is happening to, and or that we were the cause of it happening to us or whatever. So then now you're paralyzed. You, it, you know, it causes other things to come on, such as shame, you know,
embarrassment
or what's wrong with me. You know, whatever, but still it's great to recognize that really those are things that are still coming to rob you, you know, of what you are to have, and not really accepting that as defeat, not to sit in it, you know, but now figure out what's the next step and how do I move on from that.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to say too is it's very natural to feel those things, the embarrassment, the shame, the isolation. However, when you continuously, like you say, LaShonda, to sit in it and you begin to adopt it as a true belief, you start to believe that it's them, or nobody wants me because of this, or nobody will see who I am, why can't anybody love me? You're looking on external and not really doing the work internally.
The work, and it's going back to getting to your worth, you know.
Absolutely.
Knowing that regardless or irregardless, you're still worthy of having the life that you want, living the life you want. Nothing has changed about what he has said, you know, about you.
Right. Absolutely.
Your life, those are just circumstances, but that doesn't determine who you are, nor, you know, what your path is, or, you know, really what he has decided for you in your life. So you don't
absolutely
let it sit. You take that as a part of the experience or your walk, and then you learn from that. And you get on and move to the next, because it is something, and that's what I've learned, that it is something to learn in every situation or whatever could happen with us. But don't take that now, you know, just bear the weight of all of that and just say, oh, okay, we get into this thing of woe is me, you know. And I would say, oh, it is you. I mean, now what? Because it is you. So, now
right.
Like, let's move forward, you know. So you'll remain where you are, and you can't remain where you are.
Right.
So from there, I think you were sharing with me earlier, which I'm so excited for you and for others, that now you shifted once again, and like you shifted from the 9 to 5.
I hate that.
We were talking about that because, you know, of course, I've done that for years, and that's another mindset shift all in itself.
Yes, huge.
Totally from out of that space. It's one thing to be doing that along with doing some other things, but to now just totally to not be dependent on that at all, and then you're stepping out and up into another level, you know, altogether of the faith walk. Tell us about that and how you, what was the progression for that for you?
Absolutely. And this is not my first time stepping out of the system.
Okay.
And I have to call it a system because there are expectations, there are processes, there are regulations, all of that in a 9-to-5 system, where you're reporting at the same time every day, getting off at the same time, taking the lunch, you got total rewards package, X, Y, and Z. I've always been an entrepreneurial minded individual. I've started businesses before. Some few have been very successful for me, and others, you know, I've had to kind of reshift some things. But for some reason, it just seemed as if it was the right time. I wasn't being mistreated on my job. I was not being ridiculed. But I will have to say, I felt like this was the first time I've ever felt I was called out of it. I felt the internal pull so strong this time, to the point where, and I love my manager. She has agreed to continuously be my mentor in HR. And that's another thing too. You have to leave on good terms, which is really good.
And you should. Yeah, don't burn any bridges. Yeah.
Please don't, because you never know when you got to cross back over. But I am really proclaiming that this time, it is going to be a tremendous upward mobility for me.
Yeah.
So the mindset shift came to a place where I just said, it has to be something better than this. It just has to be something better than this. I've been in recruiting and staffing, like I said, for over 9 years or so, and hired a lot of people, fired a lot of people, interviewed a lot of people. And I just lost my steam for it because I felt like companies have gotten very, very selective. And I felt like they were missing so many gems, so many good people, so much talent. And I would have consistently have conversations with people. And it got to a point where it was almost sick to my stomach to listen to the reliance and the dependability on the system to take care of them. I mean, to the point where people were crying on the phone and saying, I need a job. And this is the crazy thing. I've heard these stories pretty much my whole career. I've spent
you're in a different place and space.
Absolutely.
So it didn't even align with you and what you believe. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so I don't want people to take this the wrong way that all of a sudden people are doing this. I've pre-screened and interviewed and people for years, and they've all had stories like this. People being thrown out of their houses and taking cars. But for some reason, for the last year, it has consistently bothered me. And I said, why are we so fixated on this? And I remember having a conversation with, and this is probably what really started getting me to thinking. I had a candidate that went to a in-person interview down in McAllen, Texas. And I had been trying to recruit her for I don't know how long, but she did her best at the interview. She had stats and she walked in there, she was sharp, she was ready. And when I asked her, how did the interview go? I called her after it was over. She didn't answer my call for the next couple of days. And she finally called me back. And I said, hey, what happened? And she said, Jaina, I cried so hard that I didn't get that job because I had to let her know. I do pride myself on letting people know where they stand. And I wanted to talk about it with her, but she said, I took that one very hard. And she said, I just don't know what I want to do anymore. She said, I feel so unproductive. I feel like I don't have any value in my life. And I'm looking like, what?
Wow.
I was like, I said, and I told her, right. And I said, don't you dare put a job and your value and your worth together. That has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Right.
And so when I talked to her and I said, what are your gifts and your talents? What do you want to do? And she started talking about, she wanted to write a book, and she's living with her daughter right now. And she said, I just know I have multi-millions of dollars in me.
Wow.
I just don't know what to do with it. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
So that was like a huge epiphany that there is a consistent need for people out there that are fixated.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And not to say that 9-to-5s are not necessary, because you may need them. But I do think when I launched my business this time, is that my mindset shifted into a place for me that I felt like I wasn't getting the pay that I wanted. That was number one. I was not really getting the benefits. Like, the benefits definitely wasn't up to par. And I will say this, I worked for a startup. So let me put that out there. So a startup company definitely is going to operate a whole lot different than a well-established company.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And my manager was excellent, mentored me the whole time. But I got to a place I was just like, you know what? My car had broke down on me, and I was like, what in the world am I doing? What am I doing? What's going on with me? Mm-hmm. And so I started to take some inventory in myself, and I know that I'm meant to do well in life. See, and that's another thing, you got to know your worth. That's exactly what we're going to. You got to know your worth. So I began to, and this wasn't immediate. This was a series of time and weeks that I had to start reprogramming my mind, because it was stuck somewhere, insecurity in a place.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that if I wanted to go into my destiny, then I had to start thinking destiny-minded.
Right.
So I had to do what I had to do. So I guess to answer your question, how did I shift my mind? Number one, I began to affirmatively proclaim and declare in my life who I was and who I knew I could be. You know, I am. I shall, I can.
And affirmations are very important. Affirmations.
Very important.
To speak it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To say it loud and speaking and having it in the spirit. Yeah. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So being around people of faith, being around people who also speak as, you know, for lack of a better phrase, who speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to read, and I am a Christian by faith. So Christ consciousness for me is the mind of Christ. So I began to read my Bible differently than I did in the past. I started to look at money differently than I did in the past. I didn't look at money as, oh, I gotta get this, you know, such and such. No, I started to look at money as energy, and it's circulating.
I taught on that last week at Bible study. I'm teaching on finance, and I was talking about that, and it may have been a little bit too heavy for him at first, but, you know, hearing it like that for the first time, they're like, what? But that's how it comes to me. And the more I study about money and everything, I mean, and like, when I got that aha moment, I was like, OMG, like, you know, and which is why, too, you don't say, because we love this, you know, state the words, I'm broke and poor, I don't have anything or whatever, but it's always circulating. So you say spending, or you say it's my money is circulating. Like, you're not broke, it's in circulation. And it might not be in your hands, but it's out there.
And
it's rolling, but yes, okay, yeah, for sure.
I love that.
Thing, yeah, energy, and that it is energy, and it's all about your attitude surrounding it, which is why you have to get your mind together and get your attitude check about money, your story about money, which is why you don't say I'm broke, because then you're repelling it and it's going the other way.
Ooh.
To you, but yeah,
Mm-hmm. That is so good. And many of us didn't go through that. We didn't hear that. We didn't, it wasn't taught to us. So I began to look at money, my money story, my money beliefs. I started to look at my past and how in my family, how money was treated in my family. Mm-hmm. And then I started to say, okay, these are some of the hangups that I have about money and why I need to start looking at it from a place of it's an unlimited supply.
Unlimited. It's abundant.
It's unlimited and abundant supply. And even on a job or 9-to-5, which is good, I think you should make as much money as you want to make. But when you're going into a 9-to-5, they have caps. They have set budgets.
That's right. That's right.
There is a cap on your, and so when people, I'm telling you, so when people come in and they, I deserve this much.
Right.
And it's like, well, the budget says I can't give you that much. So then you accept it because you have accepted the limitation. Okay, I just preached to myself. So that just hit me.
It's so true, and you put in yourself, you boxed yourself in at that point. You boxed yourself in, and you created a cap or limit, as you said, right then and there. Mm-hmm. Because you can only go as far as they can go and as they will go. No matter still even where you are in your mind, which is, of course, why you should definitely operate with other revenue streams or whatever. But, when you come back to the job and that's the only thing you depend on, no matter what you're dreaming of or thinking of, that's a system all in itself that has nothing to do with your system. You and somebody
system.
So now you need to create your own system,
and they get to make the rules.
And
you do not
make the rules. They make the rules.
And I think we get upset. Well, I gotta take care of my kids, and I gotta have a schedule, and I gotta. Right. Well, I think that's well, and you're right. You're absolutely. You can do that. I started telling people that you can absolutely have whatever you want to have. You just can't have it here.
Yeah. And that's true.
You are deserving.
If then you get mad with the people. You get mad with the people because of what the people already said they couldn't do or not going to do. And then you mad with the people because now you mad with the people who hired the people because they working for the people. They working for the same people you
hired. Right.
But seriously though, we take it personal.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it can be because you got your inner office, the whole political thing going on, but.
Right.
Outside of that, though, seriously, you cannot be mad with them because you're operating within somebody else's system, point blank, period.
And that's the whole point.
And that's when they say, oh, okay, if you don't like it, then leave, or you can go find another job or whatever. But so, and that's why I say it's the same thing. You brought your skill set there. You brought that there by the work of your hands.
Yep.
Not anything that you can't take with you, know. So you may have picked up another competency or something, but it's still by the work of your hands and your mind. And so you take that and you move on to the next thing, or do you move
outside
of that? But, we put ourselves in a box when we go into their domain, and then you get comfortable and you just rest there. And that's how it just becomes like this whole cycle,
And not only just that, LaShonda, too, I would hear people say, oh, well, I'm so upset. Because I had given them so many of my ideas and I used so much of my talent, and this is how they do it. And I say, yeah, that's called intellectual property. You give them ideas, it's theirs.
You can't fault them, and you can't fault them because you willingly gave them.
Gave it to them. And that's their property. So just think of you, all that creativity that you're giving away for someone else's value proposition because it enhances their value.
That's a word for somebody right there now.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You're giving away your gifts and your ideas for someone else's value. Not saying that you can't or you shouldn't or anything of that nature. Because I'm not saying everybody is meant to be an entrepreneur. I am not saying everybody is meant. But I am saying that if you believe you can, you can.
And if you've had this struggle within you in working for somebody, and you find that you continuously, you know, moving from one to another, or that you keep going back to the struggle, you could have been with the same employer for years, but if you see that you keep coming back periodically to the same place and space mentally, then okay, then maybe that's the time for you to move on, or it's not for you. Yeah,
right. Because right, absolutely,
you may not think that you're ready for entrepreneurship, but if there's a struggle and you constantly have a problem and an issue and you can't work for anybody else, then already in your mind you've made yourself an entrepreneur, because thereby you saying you can't work for anybody, and absolutely, that their system doesn't work for you, so you need to go and create your own system.
You know, you need to go and create your own system. I'm so sorry about that. Someone called in. Mm-hmm. But I was just going to say that people got to stop looking on the external, got to stop looking outside and turn their attention towards within. Because of the fact that if you're looking outside for your satisfaction and you're looking outside for your value, you're looking externally for your worth to be validated, you're going to consistently run after the validation of others without you stepping into your own truth and saying, I'm the bomb.
And you'll run on that and you'll stand on mm-hmm. that, and which is where the breakdown comes in. And when mm-hmm. you start, you hit a wall, because then what you've done now is dependent on them to validate you and mm-hmm. to validate who you are and what you do and the value that you bring. And then now when it's time for you to move on or whatever, you can't, because now you're stuck in what they said about you or them validating you, and you don't feel like at that point you can transition
mm-hmm.
to the mm-hmm. next thing. Or something else. And it was something that you said when you were talking about how you had come to the realization, and after you were speaking to the candidates and you were coming to the realization, okay, it's time for me to just move on. That's where most of us become stuck at that point, because now you're frustrated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know that mm-hmm. you're called to do something else. So you have that feeling that you need to be doing something else, because that's just not making you happy anymore. I mean, that's not where you want to be.
And as simple as that.
But then they're stuck now right here in the bottleneck, because now they're saying, and I just had somebody say that to me today, but now what do I do? Because now I like doing this, I like doing that, and I know what I'm doing here, and that's what I've always done, or the value that I've brought to every organization when I've gone mm-hmm. in. I've brought this value doing systems and doing whatever, and they've always said you make it better, or you've made it better. You know, so she's like, but now I don't know how to convert that or transition, you know, now to finding, what did she say? You know, like doing that market research to finding who it is that would want those services, or that they're looking for that, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, so speak to that, like, because now even for you now to say, okay, I'm shifting out,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing this, and I don't know now if you're going to be doing the same thing or not.
No recruiting.
Okay.
That was part mm-hmm. of my issue. I was tired of recruiting. I love people. I love business, but I got kind of tired of having the decision of my income and my money to be contingent upon somebody else's opinion of a person that I'm bringing before them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kind of got to the place of, okay, how many times or how many more years can I accept someone else's decision
mm-hmm.
to take my candidate, and who is amazing, who meets all the requirements. Maybe not perfect, but pretty much has everything that you need. And so even like I said, I'm good at it. I was successful at it. It wasn't that I left on a bad note. It wasn't that I left on, you know, just giving up, and I was very strategic about it. Mm-hmm. But to someone who has to step out there brand new, and because of the fact, I feel like I'm a little bit more mature on the mindset, because it's, again, it goes back to the mindset of, at this point, what do I do? So for that young lady that you spoke of, this is when you got to get back in the classroom. This is when you, and when I say classroom, not meaning literally, not meaning physically, but you got to start reading again. You got to start researching again. You got to put the phone down sometimes. You've got to put it on do not disturb, and you need to carve out time in your schedule to sit down and start learning about business.
And when meditating on really what it is that he's speaking to you and calling you to do. I mean, and really, in your spirit, so he's already been speaking it to you, because that's what has made you uneasy at this point, and not comfortable or frustrated, because those are the signs right then and there. And so, my thing is to get still and meditate with it and start writing, you know, about what's being spoken to you, because, yeah, you can have a whole lot of things going through your mind. Several things, but as you know, you do have to focus on one thing. Too many things will start being overwhelmed and confusion, and you're not going to do anything because all of these other things are running through your mind. But you have to look at, you have to write what is being said and spoken to you, and what you're feeling as far as that passion and the purpose and what he's giving you. And then you have to take one of those, and like you said, and do your research. And, start filling out, okay, like we would normally do back in the day when we had our hustle. You know, it's like, you ain't really sitting palm that too much. It came to you, and you were going to work that thing regardless. And you pushed that, even if it wasn't really spoken to you clearly. You just knew you were going to go sell something, do something, because you were trying to get that money at that point.
Absolutely.
And give you the end result of the money in your hands. And you're taking it to somebody. So it's the same thing with your talent and your skill. You know, but then as you're older, you think about a whole lot of stuff and you ponder it and analyze it 20 times 20, you know, about what it is that you want to do. But you sit with that and you go through what's spoken to you, and you're like, okay, who is it that this speaks to, and who, you know, who is it that I'm called to do this for, and what is that service, what does that look like? And then once you do that, though, that's the whole part, too, of attracting it to you.
That type of person, that kind of, absolutely. And just look at it. When you're stepping out, first of all, when you're in a 9-to-5 system, you're getting your salary, you're getting taken care of with the total rewards package, and it includes your health benefits, your paid time off. You don't have to worry about your payroll, because your payroll is coming in first 15, bi-weekly, every other Friday, every Friday, or whatever your payroll cycle is. And you don't worry about any of that, because now you've started to buy your house or get your apartment and get your car based on that
what you're getting
income.
That's right.
So when the call comes to get you out of that system, now you have to shift from your whole lifestyle being centered around security to now you're in a faith-based walking it out. And now you don't even know what to do, because the program that you use in this 9-to-5 system was stuck on that. So now I'm going into another place where now I'm not using my, most people, you're not using your gifts and talents on 9-to-5, and that's the majority of people. Some people are gifted to use it. And even if they're using it, they're not being compensated properly for it. So now you're shifting over to a place of where your gifts and talents or your skills can actually take you into astronomical worth. You become nervous because you are accountable for your actions all by yourself.
All by yourself. And it's straight up sales. You're straight up selling yourself.
You're doing everything with a 9-to-5 system. had most of that for you. You didn't have to sell, or if you're in business development, you didn't have to worry about your business cards. You didn't have to worry about your salary and your bonuses or whatever it is. So there is a shift that has to change, and you have to get to the place of confidence to know that, okay, I have to become a learner again. I've got to learn how to balance my money now. I've got to learn profit and losses. I need to take an accounting course. I need to learn how to market. I need to learn how to get out there and network with the people. And I was kind of jotting some notes down about even in project management, learning how to break down the stages of your business, going from because we can visualize and we can plan. We good at that. Mm-hmm. We are wonderful at that. Mm-hmm. We are professional planners. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to implementation and executing,
mm-hmm.
we lose the action part of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, we lose about 80% of everybody.
And yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, when you're implementing, and it takes action, you actually have to put yourself on a schedule. Yeah. And you have to put yourself on a structure and flow.
Yeah.
Because people are expecting you to still be available.
Like you got all the time in the world, like, and mm-hmm. you're floating around. Yeah. Even though you do have freedom, though. We're going to get to that.
You do have freedom. Yes.
There's a freedom. There's freedom in there. But mm-hmm. at the same time, freedom, this whole the mindset of freedom does not still mean that you don't have a structure. You shouldn't have some type
right.
of structure, system, and
right.
format. So let's go into the freedom that you yes. have in knowing your worth, and you know, speak to us about that.
Well, let me start with worth, because when you talk about worth, a synonym of worth is you're deserving. So if you know, and this takes the inner work. This is that inner work that you have to do before you even attempt to step out and do something like this. Because there's only people when you have ideas and you say, man, I would love to do that. I would love to step out and have my own business. We all have the ability to do that if that's what our desire is. Because there's some right. people that are supposed to be supporters and supposed to be your admin, your assistant. Mm-hmm. But there are some people that are built to lead and to grow and have companies and things like that. But when you are in a place where you have to discover your worth and you know it, it's there, you have to start cultivating it. It goes all the way back to our initial kind of conversation at the beginning of the recording, is that we have to be affirmative.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be affirmative, and you got to start declaring that I am a multimillionaire. I am my brain is worth multimillions of dollars. I help people all over the world, that people love what I sell. They love what I present to the world. But that comes by way of conditioning your mind, because if you can get your mind to think better and to shift in that way. Because you got your managers telling you that you're great. You got your boss telling you, oh, she's wonderful at what she does. She always helps us. And he always comes yeah. through for us. And yeah. he was number one in the segment. But you don't have anybody outside telling you that you're doing wonderful. You got to tell yourself
and
that
you
I am an extension.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. You've got to. It's an extension. You are an extension of the creative force. That does great service in the earth.
Right.
So your worth is there, and you have to believe that you are deserving. You have to believe that you deserve to be wealthy, right. and you will create systems and processes for yourself,
right.
so that you can start living in that freedom.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, and again, the wealth part, and that's what I tell everyone, from the wealth, it has to be down on the inside of you.
Yeah.
And then that manifests on the outside. You know, wealth has nothing to do with the money, because
right.
you have to feel that and know that.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit in your soul first, in order for now you to tap into that and attract that. And
yes.
attract the being of it, in order for that now to manifest. in other ways, such as now you monetizing your value and your skill sets, or and your skill set and your talent and gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. then also to be able to cycle and recycle that, you know.
Ooh, yes.
Which is how, you know, we get into that whole thing with, of course, branding you and what you do. Mm-hmm. And how you can't compete. At that point, you're not competing with anybody but yourself.
That's right.
You know, because a lot of us will get stuck as well. Mm-hmm. Because then you start thinking, oh, that no, you know, it's enough of that out there, or I'm doing something that a million other people are doing.
Mm.
That's not true.
That's not true.
It's you, and it's what you do, and it's what you bring to it. You know, which
absolutely
is different. Because if you think about it, yeah, a million other people are doing it, even on a job. There are mm-hmm. multiple people who are doing some of the same tasks and everything that you have, or somebody who can back you up. You know,
mm-hmm.
not do it, or I mean, which is how we are not irreplaceable, and how they can shift you out, or they can abolish your job or position or whatever.
Because, mm-hmm.
yeah, that's something that can be duplicated as far as the task and everything, but you mm-hmm. in your hand at what you do and what you bring to it, and the way that you do it is your stamp that you mm-hmm. put on what you do. I mean, and really, and for us, really, and I'm just even preaching to me, you know, when you realize that that is what you were selling and it's not actually
you uh-huh. know,
that skill or whatever, because the skills are a dime a dozen. You know,
yeah,
your
absolutely.
Hand to that skill and your talent, you know, and your gifts, that you being the gift to what you're
absolutely.
Doing, and all of that. But this is good, China. So mm-hmm. other aha moments that resonated with you throughout, you know, your walk, mm-hmm. and especially when you felt like, okay, I'm going to do this, like. And I'm going to take this walk. I'm going to step out all the way now and just.
And I'm just going to do it.
And
yeah.
You're doing it for the second time, because you said you had already tried it once. But now.
The difference. Yeah. So the difference this time is that I did it with it being just me. My first time I stepped out into entrepreneurship, I had support. I had my family. I was in Memphis at the time. And that was a profitable business. It was definitely profitable. My second time stepping out, it was the same business, but I was married at the time. So, you know, you had somebody else paying the bills and someone else doing it, doing the, you know, kind of picking up the slack of the process. But mm-hmm. this time, you know, and my things happen in my life in threes, and it'll blow your mind. And this is the third time I have stepped out. And I feel like this time I am so much more confident that I'm being spiritually supported. And I know people are going to look at this like, oh my God, but this is still risky. It's risky to have a system that can let you go
anytime.
At any moment. Yeah. At any moment. But when you have faith, and it goes back to the scripture where it says, without faith, it is impossible to please. Absolutely. And people think that you got to just have faith and, oh, it's, I can get up and go to work, and I know God going to take care of me. No, but it's when those moments of stepping out into
that's
absolutely
faith,
in the abyss.
And have to trust them. That was our word today. Yeah. And having
right.
to really trust them. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You don't have nothing to fall back on. Like, you looking like, really, okay, really?
Like, who's going to pay the light bill this month?
Right, you know? Right. That's that true.
So
walk.
It's just me. It's a true walk. And I really believe that in this, and I'm already getting clients. I'm already
right.
Receiving, you know.
So what are you doing? I don't think we hit on that now. So what are you
no worries.
Okay.
So I'm still aligning with the same business I've had before. Of course, I've rebranded myself as myself, mm-hmm. but I am a strategist, career strategist and mindset coach. And what I do is that I provide tools and resources, courses, ebooks, and all of those great things through a spiritual mindset. I teach all this stuff on all those tools and concepts with a spiritual baseline. So What I do is that I teach people how to serve in a 9-to-5, how to cultivate and cultivate themselves in a 9-to-5, so eventually they can lead their 9-to-5 and flow in their creative gifts, so they can leave a legacy for their families.
Yeah.
So I want them to expand their consciousness from looking at logic and from looking at a third dimensional setting and saying that I have to work here because I need to survive.
Right.
Survive, or do you want to survive, or do you want to thrive?
Yeah.
You got a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I
good.
Do.
That's good. So, I think we're going to wrap it up. We just about touched on some of everything.
We did. Yeah, this was good.
Is there a word that you want to close out with before you give them your contact information and how to reach you?
Absolutely.
Behind you, you have success is a decision.
It is.
Another good, yeah. Good
absolutely.
Making
it yeah, so I just want to leave people with you are meant to live a life of abundance. You are meant to have you're meant to be in an abundant earth. You are meant to give your gifts and your talents. Your prosperity is tied to your gifts. It really is. And I just believe that. I really do.
That's really good. And how can they reach you, find you? I'm on social media.
Yes. My website is actually being branded now, so I'm excited about that. But you can reach me on Facebook. I am Jai Butler, J-A-I Butler. And that's Sanskrit for victory, J-A-I. People know that. It's in Indian. You can find me on Instagram at J-M Butler, B-U-T-L-E-R. I'm also on Twitter, same name, J-M Butler. And you can find me on LinkedIn as well as Jaina, J-A-Y-N-A Butler. So, yeah, absolutely.
Great. Well, thanks again, Jaina.
Thank you, LaShonda.
Thank you to all the listeners and to all of you all being here. We look forward to sharing with you all once again on our next segment of Work to Well. So, thanks to all.